Blog Talk Radio.
No projections of spectral light. Connected room selection, airtight. The isolated, the decisive victory simulated. The non-simulated patterns of flight originated. I'm a carnivore on a tour of duty. My band of brothers in full metal jackets establish cruelty. Black magic conjurer, attack through the monitor. Destruction of assumption, one thing I can promise you. Impact crash, closed shards of glass. Ritualistic annihilators to murder your cast. The future of the past at last revealed. The seventh seal broken in half. Ceremony is real, become obsolete. High strung from a beat of strong-minded individual. Delivering defeat, blood rivers in the street. Heat, throwing no retreat. Deep moments, deep opponent's speech. Limited repeat.
Door touching to the left, angle in my eyes, but the truth is on my chest. I'm just a man that wants revenge, and I confess I am full of rage and sin. Locked inside this cage again, where evil reigns and people like to win. It may seem sweet, but we want life to end. So we shine brightly from the light within.
Life.
to the music of a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Dark secrets, demons with a conscience. I'm the Lone Ranger looking for Pocahontas. Teenage zombies flying the beat. I'm dying till I'm what I'm trying to be. Go bad, who cares in the dupes are having. The youth know my group is the truth, so have it. Keep myself cooped up, recoup quickly. Face the hurt, but my kids stick with me. Death, love, not far as we go. Crazy face, still not starved to show. I appreciate the chance, two turns, I'll kill you. I kick in. Anything, talk to you like I might care. River bottom nightmare, moonshine distillery. Back roads are filling me. Militarist star, I depart with artillery. With artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery. With artillery.
Hello. Happy Thursday to everybody. So that was fun, wasn't it?
No, it was a pain. It's not even funny anymore. Stupid. 9 times out of 10. So, actually, you know, I think it's 10 times out of 10. 100% of the time, there's a problem with getting onto the show. Right.
When it was, like, so easy to get on, to, but then the moment that the show starts, everything crashes. It's staying on that's the problem.
It's annoying.
Let's breathe. Why don't you breathe and let me talk about something?
All right.
Deal?
Yeah.
Okay, we have quite a few topics today. One of the topics that we're going to be talking about is water memory of water, what that means. And I'm going to give you a definition that's kind of like the more recognized definition, and then we'll talk about that as far as it has to do with manifesting magic, quantum physics, that sort of thing. Also, we're going to be talking about moon phases. Now, remember, you can always do whatever you want to do anytime you want to when you're creating magic, but if you want to be able to time things better, like when you should be seeing results, if you want to, you know, just basically take advantage of, you know, just the best times, there's moon phases for different things that you can be working on. But first, you know, Bill was talking about fracking. Was it last week?
Yeah.
I guess you talk about fracking quite often, but last week, you know, it was something that was actually affecting you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And this week in fracking, dozens of residents from a rural Texas community traveled to the state capitol on Tuesday to demand that regulators act immediately to ban hydraulic fracturing or fracking amidst allegation that it is to blame for a spate of recent earthquakes.
Where is this, sorry?
This is in Texas, the Azle, Texas area, located north of Fort Worth, which is near Dallas, has experienced no fewer than 30 earthquakes since November. and residents say it's a result of increased fracking activity. Fracking, the process of injecting large quantities of a chemical cocktail into the earth to tap subterranean natural gas reserves, has been associated with seismic activity, and researchers last year linked drill sites to a series of quakes in parts of Ohio. Some Azle area residents now say there's no doubt that recent tremors across town have been brought on by similar operations in the Lone Star State, and on Tuesday they assembled before the Texas Railroad Commission to demand action. Around 50 residents had planned to attend Tuesday's hearing, but eyewitnesses at the event estimated that close to 100 fracking opponents came to complain. The commission, which regulates mineral energy production in the state of Texas, heard testimonials from no fewer than 24 of those critics. No disrespect, but this isn't rocket science here, Reno Mayor Linda Stokes testified during the hearing. Common sense tells you the wells are playing a big role in all this. At one point during the hearing, a man who identified himself as a retired rocket scientist said it doesn't take someone with his expertise to see that increased fracking activity is causing the quake. The correlation of increased fracking wastewater disposal and increased earthquakes is blindingly obvious, said the attendee, Sharon Wilson of the Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. If Texas regulators want to show that they're not owned by the oil and gas industry, they can act now and study later, Wilson said. When Wilson later read her request to the commission, the crowd erupted in applause. We have three things that we'd like to ask for, Wilson said. We'd like to ask for wastewater injection to halt until the science exists to prevent related earthquakes. We'd like all seismic data collected to be publicly available online and in real time. And we'd like these people responsible for the injection wells to be held presumptively liable for damages that caused the earthquakes in the area. Larry Griffith of Briar, Texas, told the commission that his mobile home is roughly 5 miles away from the nearest fracking site, but said that he has felt the quakes nonetheless. I was standing in my house, and it felt like a big truck hit and struck the side of the house, he said. You're putting a layer of water underneath an open hole that's causing the ground to be unstable. Who's to say it's not going to collapse and cause tremors, Griffith asked. Geologist Billy Caldwell told WFAA News ahead of the hearing that he has spent more than 50 years evaluating wells within the state for the oil and gas industry and predicted that the big wigs involved in fracking drills wouldn't be happy with his research. Caldwell said that there are three small fault lines directly northwest of Azle, the station reported. He thinks it's likely that water being injected back into the earth at fracking disposal sites is leaking into these fault plains. That causes slippage, and that causes the earthquakes, Caldwell told WFAA. WFAA reported that the commission claims it is in the process of looking for seismologists to examine local drill sites, but the group has already determined that at least one of the injection drills has had issues. And if anybody wants to read this and read the comments that people are saying, like somebody said, to start putting in insurance claims and that'll stop them, we'll see. But anybody wants to read the article, you can go to the Broken Earth Radio Show site on Facebook, like it, and you can read that and also a lot of the other things that we've been talking about and many other stuff, you know, in regards to the subject or just, you know, whatever. So what you think?
Well, you know, that's good. I mean, I've got an article here relating to it. After a sixth fracking explosion injured a worker and sent a tank flying 100 feet, government has shut down a repeat offender drill company based in West Virginia with a cease and desist order and a violation notice. The orders come as America's main oil and gas trade group prepares to launch yet another aggressive campaign to promote non-renewable energy. Repeat environmental safety and human rights offender, at least since 2010, JB Oil and Gas has been shut down after its latest fracksident.
Are you serious?
Yeah. When a worker was injured, in an explosion that sent a tank flying last week. The Office of Oil and Gas reported it had not found any contaminants in the nearby Big Run Creek. The grassroots group Occupy the Hollers, however, measured the creek's conductivity, 7,050 microsiemens per centimeter, indicating high salt content. Most streams have conductivities from 50 and 1,500 microsiemens. The shutdown is a victory for the West Virginia-based Occupy the Hollers group. This victory, as too many these days for rights defenders, has been all at the cost of human suffering, cost in both human and monetary terms. Seems of little concern to the oil and gas industry as it pays for TV ads to convince the public that fracking is safe and the best progress since sliced bread. The public just needs to be educated, Occupy Group said on its website. I heard the gas companies have spent almost $1 billion to spread their propaganda. All we have is the word of mouth. Environmental attorney Stuart Smith reported Thursday the U.S. oil industry's main trade group is launching a new campaign to promote energy production. The Occupy the Hollers YouTube video is a response to gas industry's commercials, where everything is happy, safe, and clean from the perspective of someone who lives in the frack zone, the group says, but that is not how it is out here. Our land is being plundered, West Virginia's Occupy the Hollers said. That's the same cry of humanity heard from corners across the globe. Across the planet, from Louisiana's oil and gas sinkhole disaster at Bayou Corn, to the ongoing BP Gulf of Mexico catastrophe, to mining on Australian Aboriginal sacred spaces, to Japan's Fukushima, big energy's devastations of Earth is increasing, become hazardous to human health and safety. It goes on there, but it's another small victory there. Also, Newfoundland government is putting fracking on a hold and stopping them until they've investigated into it as well. So, but if you want to hear any more about fracking and what's going on around where I live, I talked about it last week's show and the letter I sent to the environmental agencies, and I forwarded it onto the local newspapers as well. So, yeah.
The rural juror. I said it.
Well, the rural juror.
The rural juror.
It's like a dog trying to talk.
The rural juror. Well, actually, I've said it so many times trying to say it that I guess it's something that's easy to say now.
I listened to this headline. Saw before. Man beats off cougar with his bare hands.
What? That sounds dangerous.
It does.
Are you going to just read the headline and that's it?
That's it. I mean, basically, that's it. I mean,
that's the funny part.
Yeah, that's the funny part. I did see one as well. Mom gives birth to sweet potato. Yeah. Doctors are baffled. Got a picture of it. I don't even know. It's like a fetus potato. I have no idea what's going on there.
Oh, goodness. Anyway.
Shock and no. Britain's first wild beaver. Wait a minute. It's contradicting itself. It says 800 in the headline. Anyway, Britain's first wild beaver, 500 years, has been caught on camera for a second time. But this time, gnawing on a tree in the dead of night. So we don't get any we don't get any mammals in this country. We don't get any beavers around here. I've never seen a beaver in this country, but the mammal was first photographed in July last year, but evidence of it, of its living habitats has since been scant. Sounds like a word you'd call somebody.
A scant.
Yeah. The rare creatures were thought to have been hunted to extinction in the wild, but a retired scientist has used an infrared camera to photograph a beaver living locally. The animal is pictured in a sequence of shots sinking its teeth into a tree and trunk beside the river. Otter. River otter.
The river otter.
The river's called Otter.
The river otter, not the river otter.
My locals recently reported sightings of a hairy beaver.
Stop.
What? I'm just reading the article. Beavers were once native to England, but were hunted to extinction during the reign of Henry 5, 6, 7, 8 in the 16th century when they were all shaven.
Stop! Henry VIII, he said, find me all the beavers.
Yeah. Find me the hairiest beaver of them all.
And they took him literally. They took him seriously.
Off with its head.
Okay, now, let's talk about water memory, okay? Also, just, you know, if anybody wants to call in, our number is 347-215-8421. If you want to talk about the subjects that we're about to jump on, or if you want a simple sample reading, which means basically one question, and you know, just something very simple to kind of get a little taste, give us a call. And we do have some people in the queue. When we are taking calls, we will be talking to the caller from 216 first. But water memory. Water memory is basically the ability of water to retain a memory of substances that have been previously dissolved, even after a countless numbers of serial dilutions. It is supposed to be the mechanism by which homeopathic remedies work. Even though they're diluted to the point that no single molecule of the original substance remains, basically you should be able to show the remedy to the water, and it's supposed to create it. That's a theory of water memory. Now, what am I talking about today? Water memory as far as metaphysics, water memory or the memory of water in regards to quantum physics even, is that you should be able to speak to the water, and the water should be able to serve its purpose. So basically, when you're involved in magic work or manifestation or manifesting work, salt water is your best friend. Putting a quarter of an inch of salt in a shot glass or a small glass and some water in it and stating, this is for me to be able to tell if any negative stuff is happening. Sit it up in a place where you can watch the process, not knock it over, but still reach it like in your kitchen window. I have people that have glasses lined up for various reasons side by side, and you can see where each glass is affected differently based upon the person it's laid out for, the subject that it's laid out for. So this is also a method of protection for you to be able to protect yourself. You know, if your body is made of water, salt water in particular, and somebody's throwing negative things at you or the energy that would basically be negative at you, your salt glass should be able to collect it as well, and it should show patterns so we can see exactly what's happening and we can fix it. And this is the way that your body is reacting to stuff that's being tossed at you. If you look at, if you've ever seen the movie What the Bleep Do They Know, or What the Bleep Do We Know, rather, you can see where monks have chanted, and they look at the water, and you can see where the molecules create these beautiful patterns. But if there's fury or anger or just, you know, heated negative energy that's being put into it, it turns into a chaotic mess. One of the things that Bill recommends that people do is before they drink their water to speak to it, to say, you know, thank you for nourishing me, thank you for you know, keeping me beautiful. Thank you for helping flush my system. And drink your water, and your water should react with inside of you in whatever way you need it to. So these are really amazing theories, and it works. You know, it's something that I like to share with people and to talk about with people. And if anybody wants to share their own water experiences or their own saltwater experiences, you know, please do that. Give us a call, because that's what we're talking about today. We're also talking about, well, actually, before I change the subject, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Just that if anybody wants to find out any more information about the effect of words on water, because it's been scientifically proven that loving words and hateful words have positive and negative effects on water. You can actually find more information. It's actually a Japanese scientist that, but I'm sure you'll be able to Google it and find the information. I've got it to hand at the moment, but it's out there.
And also, like, if think about this too, the theory of holy water. You know, people that bless water and then, you know, use holy water for whatever reasons they use it for.
Casting out demons.
Right, baptizing people, that sort of thing. If that's the faith that you operate under, it's still something that is, you know, it's a way of that water having a memory. It's still a way of that water, you know, blessing it. And you can even bless water to clean your crystals. You can, you know, talk with the water, talk with your crystals on purifying things, you know what I mean? But remember, our words are, that's why one of the reasons that we feel like we should watch what we say. I mean, we can make jokes and stuff, but in reality, you know, we really should watch the things we say, because whatever we put out there, we're building a reality with the stuff that we say.
And we are also mostly water, so imagine what those words are having, what kind of effect they're having on our bodies and other people's.
Yeah, that's why we try our best to say kind things.
I guess you can't really say horrible things to another person without it affecting yourself either.
Right. I mean, it's true. And we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We'll probably be guilty of it again. You know,
on a daily basis.
Yeah. But the thing is that it's still horrible. It's horrible to do. Now, let's talk about the moon phases, and we might jump back into the water if something comes up or something comes across our minds.
Wear your armbands, though.
What?
Wear your armbands, though.
Your armbands?
You said we might jump back into the water.
We're going to talk about the moon. Now, we've got four major positions of the moon. You got a waxing moon, a full moon, a waning moon, and a new moon.
A waning.
Yeah, a waning moon. Now, the waxing crescent moon, which is the moon that kind of looks like a man, you know, with the profile.
Yeah.
Or maybe an ornament with a smiling face. When the moon is waxing, the dark side is to your left, more or less, and the bright crescent is to your right. And this is a good time to do drawing spells, increasing, or growth. So if you want to pull someone to you, if you want to grow something, or if you want to increase something, that's a good time to do it. Now, in the full moon, and of course you know what the full moon is, it takes 14 days for the moon to become perfectly full. It looks like a perfect circle. It's used for celebrations. It's used for praise. It's used for prayers when you're asking for something. And also it's a good time to ask for things like peace, peacefulness. It's also a good time for invoking energy into things, like if you wanted to bless tools or bless herbs, bless water. It's a good time to start new herbs for medicinal or magical purposes. It's a good time to invite a healthier cycle or even healthier lifestyle into your life. It's a good time to bless family, friends, your home, your things, and also menstruation blood rituals. So it's a good time for that. People also probably want to cut their hair if you're trying to grow your hair out during like right before the full moon, if you want your hair to grow, if you want to trim your hair to have it thicker, okay? It's right before the full moon, so in theory around the waxing time, but still you can do it within the full moon. Now, waning, when the moon is waning, it is a good time for you to do repelling, decreasing or reversing spells. If you want to, you know, take something that someone has done to you and remove it. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to get rid of someone or something, that's a good time to do this, to do those spells or that manifestation work. I like using that word better. If you're trying to split off from someone or if you're trying to end a relationship, if you want to do hot foot spells to get away from an unwanted neighbor, that sort of thing. It's also a good time to bind people. And it's also a good time to start hexing and finding lost items. Now, the new moon is basically a time period where you don't see the moon at all. And you don't see the moon because it actually rises at sunrise and it sets at sunset. So the moon is actually out during the day. And that's why you don't usually see it. And this is a good time to do anything that we try to steer away from, which is basically dark work, praising dark deities. It's also a good time to clean the soul, or I'm going to say the spirit. It's a good time to banish people and things. It's also a good time for introspect to ensure your balance. And it's also a time to talk to the dead. So a lot of your necromancy will be done during that time. So those are things that the moon is good for. If anybody wants to, you know, get more information about it, just look it up online, moon phases and magic. Or, you know, you can even call in and talk about it. But is there anything you wanted to add before we take a break and then start talking to people?
No.
Okay, all right. We're going to take a break, kind of gather our thoughts, get the brain together so we can start talking to people. And we're going to talk to the person at 216 first, okay? This is Broken Earth Radio Show. And like I said, if you want to call in to talk about any of the stuff that we've been discussing or just, you know, get a simple sample reading, that means keep it simple so we can keep everybody enthralled, give us a call. The number is 347-215-8421, and we'll be right back.
I'm
And we're back. Hello. Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Nunu. The other person is Boonu. And we are talking today about phases of the moon for magical purposes. We're talking about salt water, memory of water, and fracking. So we got different subjects kind of swirling around. We also usually ask the people that call in a metaphysical question or just a, what's the other word we use for it?
Plus one.
The quest for the questions that we ask people when they call in. Just a think about question.
Metaphysical.
That's what I said. But it's also just a question for you to kind of think about, to kind of work your muscle. So the first person we're going to be talking to today is at 216, but our question is actually going to be, if you were to leave this earth today, what would you want to be remembered for? So caller at 216, what did you say?
Being the first person to Mars.
That's what you want to be remembered for?
Certainly leaving the earth. Come on, sorry, Karen.
Caller 216, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. How are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Hey. Yes, our ephemeral question.
Ephemeral.
Angela just sent that. Angela's in the chat room, and she's not chattable, so she's sending messages to the studio. But yes, if you left today, not going to Mars, but just basically not to be seen as you again, what would you like people to remember you for?
Oh, man. Because I'm kind of nonchalant and laid back, you know, maybe they could, you know, once I'm gone, they could take that, you know, not take life so seriously, although sometimes it's hard being in the matrix, but,
right,
you know, just trying, you know, taking it easy, you know, laid back approach to life.
Be remembered for being casual.
Right.
Relaxed. And to learn from you to just sometimes sit back and just take things as they come.
Right, take things as they come. You know, try to make the worst things, you know, find something funnier, humorous out of it, you know. So
yeah, that's what I do.
Or it could be that, or it could be, because like my saying is, there's always a way, you know. So, you know, when everybody say it's impossible, I always say, no, it's always a way. So I think I would probably want them to take that more than anything. It's always say it's always a way.
It's not.
All right, you may not know as of yet, but it's, you know, you may not be knowledgeable of it yet, but it's always a way, so.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. Well, share with us what your simple question is today, what you'd like to ask.
Well, I had a question that had something about the water and the moon also. I wanted to do the water and the moon. I was wondering, have you heard of, taking a elixir, you take a crystal, and you program a crystal, and you put it in water, and if you want to do the water, program the water also, you can. And during a full moon, you set it out, let it out during the full moon, I guess during by a window sill or whatever, or if it's warm enough, I guess you can sit outside, but you want to sit by the window sill. During a full moon, and by the next morning, you know, you take it and drink it. Let's say it's amethyst. You want the amethyst crystal. You want to heighten your intuition and mm-hmm. blend into your aura, or rose quartz if you wanted to attract love or maybe bring more of a loving spirit into your aura. So that's one thing I had looked up and researched, and I haven't tried it yet, but I want to try it, so.
Oh, that's actually absolutely beautiful to do. I mean, absolutely beautiful. We make moon water Now, during the super moon, we make a lot of moon water because it becomes more powerful. Okay, I mean, you can make moon water during any full moon, but during the super moon, that's the best time. You know, you set out your mason jars or your bottles or whatever, and you put your distilled water or just purified water in it, especially if you're going to be drinking it. You know what I mean? And
right.
You put it out there and you leave it out there. You can leave it out there overnight, or you can leave it out there for the 3 days of the full moon. Stick it in the refrigerator, and you can keep it for blessings later. You can use it if you have anything that requires water. You can use it to drink it, just like you said, or putting your crystal inside of it to create the loving energy, or to increase your intuition, your clarity, your whatever it is you're trying to do. And this is absolutely beautiful, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, you know, because we do these things all the time, you know, it's important for you to ask questions, because there's some things that we just do and we don't even think about how people don't know it, or it you know what I'm saying? It just becomes a part of your life, and when people ask questions, that's when you're like, yeah, do this. So this, I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Well, when I have a bath, I put a crystal in the bath, but be careful when you get in, because you don't want to lose it, if you know what I mean. You'll be sitting on it. but if people are interested in crystals and that, this Harry Oldfield has done a lot of research with crystals, and he's actually got a CD, which is Sounds of Crystals. He puts frequencies through crystals, and they create like a musical harmony. So it might be worth, and it's supposed to have healing effects as well when you listen to the music as well. So, you know.
Yeah, when I've drawn Bill's bath before, I've put the crystal in it and cinnamon and salt, you know, just stuff that's going to help you. Like cinnamon is a natural astringent, but it's also, you know, it has that aromatherapy too. You know what I'm saying? So there's all kinds of things that you can create, little magical mixtures that you can create for yourself. And even throw some moon water in there too if you want. But yeah, you brought up a wonderful, wonderful reminder. What was the other thing you were going to ask about too, with regards to the moon or water?
No, it was one question. It was the one question read.
Okay. Well, what's your question here?
I had a female friend, and I know, like late last year, she was confused on who to choose between me and the father of her father of her children. So I was wondering, mm-hmm. where is she at right now? Her name is Erica.
Hold on just a moment. What a frustrating situation to be in for you. You know, we don't ever want to feel like we're an option. You know what I mean?
All right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't know that. No. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but still, it's a tough space to be in. Competition, strength. Okay. She wants the happy family and feels powerless to it. Getting what she wants. Okay, there'll be abrupt changes. There she is. Okay, all right, so this is the deal. Frustratingly, right now it looks like she's going the path of what's called happy family. So that's what she's trying to do. But you know, just like I know, you don't need me to say this, that it's something that's not going to really work. And so then she's going to be seesawing back over to you. So I want you to think about this, like we were just saying. Think about being an option, you know. Think about, you know, we want you to be in a relationship with someone who has got their fist pumping in the air to be with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I know that sometimes, you know, you can't help it. You still love people. You still love someone. But, you know, you know, in a process like this, you're getting big lessons on unconditional love. But this is something that I sometimes have to remind people of, and even myself. Unconditional love is for parents to have for their children. Unconditional love is for me to have for you. You know, if you make a mistake, you still should know that you can call and put it out there. The thing is, though, is that when you're in a relationship that you're trying to have as a marriage, or you're trying to have a boyfriend and a girlfriend situation, it is about barter. It is about a trade. You don't ever want to be walked over. You don't want to be in a relationship with someone who can do whatever they want to do to you and know they can come back, because that starts to lead to emotional abuse. So it's a very fine line. But I know she'll be back. But the thing is, you've just really got to see how you feel at that point for the process, to see if it's something that you can trust for yourself. Okay.
Okay.
And I really hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. She's saying, however I've got the time, if it best suits me, then one way or the other.
Right.
Doesn't, just leave it alone. Okay.
Exactly. Because I know she'll be back. And remember, she's over there trying to do, you know, the happy family thing. But it's not going to work, because you're dealing with, it looks like they have known each other for a very long time, and both of them have very primitive ideas of where they are. And that's the best information I can give you with the time allotted, okay?
Okay.
All right, dear. Okay. But you hang in there, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for contributing.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yep.
I was about to hang up the phone. I was reaching over to the phone to click the, like, oh, wait a minute. We're on Skype. What you looking at?
I was left at this picture. I'm trying to click on it. I'm going to click on it.
What's in a picture? About.
Hold on. I'll post it in the chat room.
Oh, goodness.
If it'll work. Hold on a moment. No, I don't know if it's going to work.
Who keeps calling? Oh, my goodness. It's the most annoying ring, too.
Well, it's not working anymore.
Ephemeral, that's the pronunciation.
Ephemeral question.
Ephemeral. I don't know why I'm having problems pronouncing words today. Anyway.
So, I'm just like this page here on Facebook. Yeah, Jason Popson.
What's that about?
That's J-Man from Mushroom Head.
Okay, so is there anything that you wanted to talk about, the moon or?
Well, now, see, me and my dad got into this massive debate, which ruined my brain.
Thank you.
My dad has started to read the book, Who Built the Moon?
Right.
And, you know, what was it, months, a long time ago. It was last year, you know. Little last year, maybe even further away, but, you know, in the book it says, you know, is it coincidence that the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun and 400 times closer to the earth than the sun? So it creates a perfect eclipse, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, that's strange. And then started thinking, they're saying the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun. So they're saying the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon in the book. Right. That doesn't seem right, does it?
It doesn't seem wrong. It seems very mathematical.
It doesn't seem right. 400 times does not seem right at all.
It doesn't seem like it's... Well, I guess you're right. I mean, because, you know, patterns, you know, even in the patterns in nature, they have, like, what's the number they add up to? Pi?
3.14 something.
But still, it's just, it's 400 times, is it too perfect? Is it too, or is it an odd percentage?
No, it doesn't seem right. It's too small. 400 times is not enough to times the moon by 400 to be 400 times. It doesn't seem enough. So me and my dad had this conversation. So I was like, yeah, you know what? You know, that doesn't seem right. The moon must be thousands of times smaller than the sun.
Right.
Not just 400.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I get it. Okay, yeah.
So I thought, I know. I get the diameter of the moon and the diameter of the sun. So I found out what the diameter of the moon was, and I times that by 400, and it equals the diameter of the sun.
And it really does.
Yeah, but then, this was, me and my dad spoke about this for an hour, or thereabouts. My mum was just like completely, you know, her mind was blown, but it was... The conclusion we came to was it's wrong, it's not right. And unfortunately, it was unfortunate that I chose diameter because it came out right. And I'll tell you why. Why was the diameter right, but 400 times, the moon is actually 400 times smaller than the sun? Well, the way my dad put it to me was 400 moons in a line would equal the diameter of the sun.
But it wouldn't equal the entire, like, it wouldn't cover
the
space of the sun.
Because that's 400 moons right there.
Right.
And all them don't
fit
into the sun, you know what I mean?
Right.
So then we were trying to think about, I'm not even going to go into the lengths of the complications and mathematics that we were working in. But I think it works if you're thinking in a two-dimensional.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, because basically what you, in theory, are thinking of is taking 400 moons and it equaling the entire surface of the sun.
That's right. That's what they're saying. They didn't put it, they've not put it well. They haven't put it across very well. It's like the moon is not 400 times smaller than the sun.
But if you're looking at the sun as if it's a flat surface, like if it's just a flat circle,
yes,
then
it's kind of right. It's unfortunate that I chose the diameter because, you know, it was right, you know. But then again, like I said, it's still got 400 moons lined up. It's not right.
Okay.
But, I mean, then we were talking about, you know, three-dimensional and actually getting, you've got a liter of water here in a sphere, and you've got like 10 silliliters of water here, and then, you know, you don't even want to know, but it's good to question these things and that we get in books because, you know, that's near the beginning, 400 times, and you're like, yeah, it's okay. It wasn't until months after we read that when we were like, hold on a minute, that doesn't seem right.
Right.
But anyway, that's all I wanted to say just to confuse some people.
I think they're getting it, you know.
Oh, I didn't.
That's because there's something wrong with you.
Some Rain Man.
Raymond.
Are we moving on?
Yeah.
Can I have a request as well because we kind of missed it? Is it all right if we listen to my song again in a bit?
Yeah, sure.
If we got time, because...
No, we can. We're going to take a break before we talk to the caller at 2:03.
Okay,
so we can hear it.
I'll read this out to you, and I'll post it in the chat room as well, because this is really cool. It's unfortunate if you're listening to this in the archive, you don't get to see the picture, but you'll be able to look it up. A fisherman from New Zealand was left baffled when he caught this see-through shrimp-like creature swimming near the surface of the ocean. Stuart Fraser was fishing with his sons, Connor and Finn, 43 miles north of the island's Karikari Peninsula, when he spotted the translucent shrimp floating near the top of the water. Mr. Fraser said, "I was in two minds whether to haul it in, but curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to take a closer look. It felt scaly and was quite firm. Anyway, back to the fish. It was almost jelly-like, and you couldn't see anything inside, apart from this orange blob. The photo baffled Mr. Fraser and all of his fishermen friends. But that's something you eat, isn't it? Fishermen's friends.
Yeah.
You know what? Weird. What's weird? When I was like 4 or 5, kids would go to the shop and get like sweets, chocolates, and stuff like that. I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm a packet of fishermen's friends, please." Yeah, I've got an old mind and an old soul.
Well, there is no such thing as an old soul.
Well, mine's old.
Well, where's the new ones?
They're all floating around.
I cannot stand
sometimes. See, when there's... I heard somewhere that... No, I'm not even going to go there. Some people might find it a bit controversial and get offended by it, so I won't even go there about incomplete souls. Anyway, this fish thing, I mean, it's really cool because it's, like, completely transparent, apart from, like, a little bits inside it. It's like, how is this possible? It's really cool. Let me put it in the chat room and then you can have a poke around of this fish.
That is so funny, though. I've been, like, it's, like, just taking up my brain that you just said that about those cough drops. Because I used to eat cough drops like candy. I mean, when we would go to the store and we could get something, I would get Halls, or I would get Sucrets. And I think it's because I was seeing the commercials, and the Sucrets were kept inside of a little box, and there were like commercials for them, and you could unwrap. You know what I mean?
Well, it was either that or Colt's Foot Rock. Most of those people were like, "What? What now?"
I thought you were going to say Colt 45.
Yes, Colt 45.
Colt Foot Rock.
Oh, someone spammed the chat room. Visit our website for live and archived church services. They just came in quickly and spammed. Don't click on that link. It could be a virus.
Or worse, it could be church.
Click at mine. Click mine, Daily Mail, fish. Transparent fish.
Anyway.
Fish.
Hold on. Oh, take me to the church. I'm just kidding. Fisherman pluck bizarre. Oh, wow. It looks like it's plastic.
Here's a name for it. Salpa Miagore.
Yeah, somebody said it's pretty sure it's a salp. A salp, or salpa, is a barrel-shaped planktonic tunicate. It moves by contracting, thus pumping water through its gelatinous body. The salp strains the pumped water through its internal feeding filters, feeding on phytoplankton.
Well, it's about 7 inches long, kind of firm but wobbly. You should also check out the picture of the fish as well. Maybe we should take that break.
So we're going to take a break before you start to lose your ever-loving mind. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to call in and give us a chit-chat and share in the topics and answer our ephemeral question, give us a call at 347-215-8421. And we will be... What?
Right back.
We'll be barbar.
That's right.
It's not like you said we'll be barbar. We'll be barbar. We'll be right back.
That's right.
No projections of spectral light. Connected from selection, airtight. The isolated, the decisive victory simulated. The non-simulated patterns of flight originated. I'm a carnivore on a tour of duty. My band of brothers in full metal jackets established cruelty. Black magic conjurer, attack through the monitor. Destruction of assumption, one thing I can promise you. Impact crash, close charge to glass. Ritualistic annihilators to murder your cast. The future of the past at last revealed. The seventh seal broken in half. Ceremony is real, become obsolete. High strung from a beat of strong-minded individual delivering defeat. Blood rivers in the street, heat, flowing no retreat. Deep moments, deep opponent's speech, limited repeat.
Door touching to the left, tangled in my eyes, but the truth is on my chest. I'm just a man that wants revenge, and I confess I am full of rage and sin. Locked inside this cage again, where evil reigns and people like to win. It may seem sweet, but we want life to end, so we shine brightly from the light within.
Yeah.
Dark secrets, demons with a conscience. I'm the Lone Ranger looking for Pocahontas. Teenage zombies flying debris. I'm dying till I'm what I'm trying to be. Go bad, he says, and the dupes are having. The youth know my group is the truth, so have it. Keep myself cooped up, recoup quickly. Face the hurt, but my kids stick with me. Death, love, not far as we go. Crazy face, still not star of the show. I appreciate the chance to turn top, kill you. I kick in your neck, I will do anything. Talk to you like I might care. River bottom nightmare, moonshine distillery. Back roads are filling me. Militarist star, I depart with artillery. With artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery, with artillery. With artillery.
And we are back. You know, I don't know if D-Lexis wants a reading because the little question mark thing is not clicked. So they're the person at 203.
D-Lexis.
So There we go. Hold on just a moment.
Well, maybe you should just give them a read anyway. Just force your way in
just,
there.
Just read. Just give you a read, and I'm just going to read you. I'm going to read
you. You do that. It's like, I'm going to be reading for you now. Read. Tell everybody.
I'm going to read your outfit.
You can do about it.
I'm going to read your outfit. And remember our ephemeral question of the day is...
You were an astronaut.
If you were leaving Earth, never to be heard of again, what would you want people to remember about you? 203, it's Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, it's me. To
Hello.
Answer your question
Hello,
is... Hi, Nunu, Bill. I want people to remember me for all of my good deeds that I've done. See, people forget that. And not that I want, like, recognition for it, but I just want to be that type of person that makes an impact in our community. You know, sometimes things that are bad is always magnified, and those little small life-changing things that we do, people tend to forget or they don't acknowledge, and it's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of frustrating. I think sometimes it happens because of, like I'm just using this as an example. If you work at a job and your job is to sell cars, if you haven't sold a car all week and you sold 20 cars the week before that, people are going to remember the fact that you didn't sell 20 cars again. You know what I'm saying? They'll remember what you didn't do, or they'll remember the negative, but they let, well, you know, and I don't know if it's because of just, I don't, you know, if it's just, you know, pressure, insecurity, whatever, but you're right. People do tend to forget about the good and they remember the bad things.
Yeah, and even, I mean, that even goes as far as how the pay structure is in different fields or line of work. Like, I see athletes, they get paid, not that I'm not saying that they shouldn't be compensated for whatever skill sets they have, but they get paid millions and millions of dollars just for you to watch them on television. It's just all entertainment, whereas, you know, like, I've been a social worker since 96, and... I mean, it's like tooth and nails trying to stay above water. They don't pay you enough, and it requires a lot of work, a lot of accountability. You go into environments where people are very needy, and, I mean, you put yourself at risk, not just, you know, from harms, but just like the environment itself, bed bugs, scabies, and all those things. And then when you leave that position, it's like they feel it, and then it's no, you know, there's no recognition. So I just think the way that things are kind of structured here is, and I don't know about other countries, but I just feel like it's kind of backwards. I feel like, you know, social workers, people that actually make a difference, they should get more recognition and compensation for what they do. Nurses,
right.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
People like that, I don't know.
You're
That's
right.
My opinion.
You're right. You're very right, but instead you get, well, that's the choice you made, so, you know, people act like, you know, like, well, you made that choice, so why, you know, like when you try to say, just when you're saying, you're not saying, like, please gimme, you're just saying, you know, what's wrong here, and then you get treated like you're acting holier than thou because you help people and you want to be paid, you know, accordingly. You know, so it's
I mean,
a very weird...
I mean, but those are the things different. You know,
yeah.
Like taking another harmless person off the streets and feeding them. Those are the things that make a difference. And just watching, like, a basketball game does nothing for us.
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Well, did you have anything you wanted to add about the moon or the water, or did you have a simple question that you wanted to ask?
I wanted to follow up because I spoke to you in April of last year regarding at the time I had just found a space for my business and I was having issues, structural, like, issues with the
right,
place.
With,
and it,
with,
Yeah.
Right, with the beauty shop, and you were having problems with the landlord.
Yeah. Well, things kind of ironed out a bit. I'm working with them, you know, and just taking things as they come. But, you know, just recently I made a really big move where I kind of left my full-time job to come here thinking I had to be here because it was closed all day. And, I was just coming in the evenings and, you know, people kind of didn't really know we were here. But now that I'm here, it's like it is so slow. I feel like I made a bad decision. Like, I feel like I made a good decision because either way I needed to leave that job. It was killing me. But to be here and not see the business kind of, like, pick up is kind of sad. It's breaking my
heart. Where are you advertising?
I was doing a lot of free advertisement, like Craigslist, social media, and then I've been cross-advertising with the businesses in the community.
Okay, and that's
the ones that are next to me. Yeah, I mean, I know it takes time, but now, you know, like with this all, I'm kind of having second guess, so I just want to see if I just ask whether or not I made a bad choice.
You didn't make a bad choice. Listen, okay? This is the deal. It's not about failure. It's about how to become successful, okay?
Yeah.
You have to remember that. Right now, when you're looking at nobody coming through the door, it's hard to hear that, okay? But the thing is I want you to think about something. I want you to look at where you live. You live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Are you doing a certain type of hair? You know, where are those people? Where are those people? You're in a place where there's lots of Dominicans. You're in a place where you've got African-American women scattered about, but you know, still exist. You need to get them through those doors. So you need to go to where they are and pull them in.
This is the
church
issue. Even though I'm African American, like I trained and I can do all textures of hair. I went to a predominantly Caucasian school, and only because I knew how to do ethnic hair growing up. I'm from being black. The challenge that I'm having is the people see me here now, but they won't patronize the business unless the other girl is here. And I'm just being honest. I always felt like it was just because, you know, it was a black thing. Now, I have some Caucasian men that come see me, and I had a conversation with one of the guys. He owns a business in a neighborhood, and he's Caucasian. And he said, you know what, I think you might be right. That's going to be a challenge, he said, because I looked in, and I thought that too, but I don't really care. I'll try you, and if you screw me up, then I won't go back to you. You know, so he never had a problem with it. It's penetrating through all the rest of the stuff here, because if they gave me a chance, they'll see that I'm really nice and I do actually have skills, you know. So that's my challenge. Yeah. So
now,
I feel a bit
separated. There's that. I mean, if you don't want to just be seen as, you know, the beauty shop, you know what I mean? If you want to be seen as the hairstylist place, you know, you're going to have to start pulling in some people into those chairs, I mean, into the booth. You're going to have to start getting, you know, your punk rock girl and your, you know, you're going to have to get the girls with the wild hair that have the friends. I mean, it's not just you. You got to remember that it's not just about you. Advertising also comes from people that are actually doing hair. So if you want to make it a versatile place, you got to bring in the people that know, because remember, people know people. That's all you got to focus on. So with us taking that strategy of, you know, I'm not necessarily trying to do, you know, a coarser hair. I want to do everybody's hair. We're going to have to bring in people to work for you or to work for the salon, okay? And they bring in their clients, and those people bring in their people, and so on and so on and so on. But bear with me just a moment. You also want to see, like, check and see if you have a roller derby around, because those girls are wild and they're constantly getting stuff under their hands. So, you know, just really and truly, you got to meet the people. Now, if you take in this strategy, it looks like it is going to take you. Realistically, it says soon, you see, but the thing is, it looks like there's this person you bring in that actually looks like it's a guy. And this awesome, crazy guy looks like he brings in people with him. He actually looks like he's going to be walking the fence, which means he'll be working for you and someone else. And then there's a point where it actually looks like, because of where you're located, his people will be coming there, and he'll be there. And then that right there is going to launch you off into more and more and more and more. So remember, dear, it's not about failure. It's about how to make this work. And this is basically being defined as flipping your tradition, which means just changing your tactic, changing your strategy. But do this, and it looks like sometime in February, this guy, you bring this guy in, and everything starts to change. So seriously, just... like I said, start talking to roller derbies, start, you know, going to, you know, high schools, colleges, you know, anywhere where you've got people that are just, that look like they constantly are doing their hair or something to it, and you'll start bringing in every kind of person possible.
Yeah, that's actually what I want, because I love texture, I love color, I love everything about it.
Right.
You know, which is why I didn't box myself in, you know, doing one particular, you know, texture of hair. But the area that I'm in, these people are rich, and you know, they have a lifestyle that they live, and they probably don't deviate from that. So it's hard. It's there. Some are older, you know. So it is very tough. I've been trying to get people in. I've been advertising. I even put it on Instagram, because, you know, as a last resort, because I have been doing posting on Craigslist, Indeed, and places like that. But I have a friend that recommended this guy to come here too, and he's working at home and working somewhere else part time. But I haven't heard from him yet. I'm just waiting to, because
well,
I don't know him.
Get in touch with him again. Get in touch and maybe even say something to him like, you know what, I'll waive your booth space for a little bit until we can just get some people in here, so that he can, like, you know, so he'll come and he'll start having people come there. I mean, I know it might be easier for him to just, you know, them to come to his house and him get paid. But the thing is in theory, he doesn't want to be working up out of his house all the, you know what
no.
I mean? You know, you probably want to be working at an awesome location. Remember, too, you're in an area where people have money. They have crazy children that need wild hair. You know, you've got people that, even though they may have a lot of money, they may not be very conservative looking. You know what I mean? You know, pull in the people. And it's not even about doing blue hair. It's just about doing hair. So you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, change your strategy in which you're trying to appeal to people and appeal to the hairdressers, because those people have clients and those clients have friends. And then just pull them in. And you may be able just to kick back and, you know, do the appointments and do the occasional hair and, you know, have one of those places where maybe they can have a glass of wine when they get their hair done, and just turn it into a place where people just really love the ambiance and they want to be. I remember the first time I went into a salon where you could actually drink, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is where I want to be all the time. You know, you got to be careful. You got to be careful, but you know, you gotta make it a fun place to be. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you
listening.
So much.
Thank you. Okay, and thank you for sharing. And you have a good time, and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, sweetie. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye now.
What you looking at me sideways for? You were looking at me sideways.
You were saying about drinking in the salon.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why? Because they don't give you beer at the barber shop. They just knock your head up beside the wall and cut your hair off and send you out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you get your hair cut, you're gone for like 5 minutes.
Right?
Yes. It's like I'm going to get my hair done and I get my hair cut and I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, he'll be gone for hours and you're like back within a few minutes. And I'm like, oh.
You know why that is, don't you?
Because you are a man.
You do actually know why.
I know sometimes you trim your own hair, yeah.
No, I've been trimming my own hair for over a year.
I thought you were leaving to go get it done.
No.
That's been a long time, huh?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a year at least.
That's why your hair always looks lopsided, isn't it?
Your face looks lopsided.
Maybe it does, but still. So what you thinking?
I'm also in those spammy emails.
Oh, so nothing important. Well, listen, we're going to play a song. And this is, if anybody wants to call up.
Mushroom, yeah.
If anybody, we already heard that. If anybody wants to give us a call, give us a call at 347-215-8421. It's Broken Earth Radio Show, and we'll be back.
Thank you. I just cried. Are you in touch with all of your darkest fantasies? Have you created a life for yourself where you can experience them? I have. I am fucking crazy. But I am free.
We're back. It's Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Bunu. What you thinking?
Headline here says, new sick policy requires 2-day notice.
What's the rest of it say?
I don't know. It's too small. It's just the headlines, you know?
I remember I got chicken pox. And I was working at this place, and I called in. I called in, and I told them, I have the chicken pox, and they said, okay. And so I just was out. I had the chicken pox. I was sick. It was really, really, really bad. And when I showed back up to work, they said, we thought you quit. And I said, I told you I have chicken pox. Look at me. And they were like, well, you were supposed to call in every day. And at the time, I was like, what? It just didn't occur to me to keep calling in constantly, reminding them that I had the chicken pox, you know?
Right.
Anyway.
That's still
jobs. Jobs.
Something happened today in work. What was it? Strange.
Today at work, we worked.
What happened in work? I don't know. So, somebody tried to make a citizen's arrest on Tony Blair. Which is good. It's good. Right?
What happened?
Well, this is a follow-up article, but it'll tell you now. He might have quit his job immediately afterwards, but the London barman who attempted a citizen's arrest on Tony Blair has been rewarded with a sizable bounty for his efforts. I mean, it's justified, you know? Seriously.
Well, tell us why.
Okay, I'll read out what he said. Twiggy Garcia was working in Transad in East London. And the opportunity arose to confront the former Prime Minister. So Mr. Blair was dining with friends and family. The DJ turned barman laid a hand on the former Prime Minister's shoulder and tried to arrest him for crimes against peace, namely the decision to launch an unapproved war against Iraq. The website that inspired his actions, George Monbiot's Arrest Blair website, has now awarded him a quarter of their funds, a total of £2,222. Mr. Monbiot explained he satisfied their conditions as not only attempted the citizen's arrest but attracted the attention of the media. In Mr. Monbiot's words, the bounty is deserved for keeping the issue and the memories of those who have been killed alive and sustaining the pressure to ensure the international law binds the powerful as well as the puny. However, Mr. Blair's considered response to Mr. Garcia, who also goes by the name Julian Assange, on Twitter, saw the barman come under a torrent of criticism on social media. It seems that Mr. Blair's unpopularity with a certain portion of the population was rivaled only by intrinsic dislike of those considered hipsters.
What was the name? What does he go by?
Julian Assange.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I can't say whether or not I want to, I don't have anything to say about it. I don't think
allegedly, that's what he goes by. But can we alter, this one said, can we alter the title of this article to Annoying Hipster Harasses Tony Blair Releases Realizes He Looks Stupid? What?
Can we?
Well, no, I agree with him. I'm just
upset about that other name.
What Well, you never know. I mean, sometimes it could be true, but sometimes they throw these things in to discredit these people, you know.
Right, right.
But it doesn't matter about that.
Okay.
What his name is on Twitter, really, does it? But even so, you know, a lot of balls for doing it, and it's a shame that it didn't actually go through, you know, as a prophecy and the rest.
I'm going to citizens arrest you for trespassing across my heart. Next week, why are you making that face at me?
That's the way I normally look.
What, like, disgusted and...
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Next week, we're going to be talking about what?
Go on. Carry on.
I was asking you. You're the boss.
Uh-oh, I've not told you about this before.
About being the boss?
No.
Well, we're not sure of what next week's topic's going to be, so you'll just have to be watching around and tuning in to know. It's going to be awesome, though, and Bill's going to be talking a lot because people really like it when he's talking and giving out information. Today's topic has been the moon in regards, like moon phases in regards to magic and manifesting. One of the reasons that, you know, remember, you don't have to do it. You don't have to use moon phases for your manifesting. It is just that using the moon for your manifesting helps you be able to determine things like timing. Like, remember, when you're dealing with manifesting, there's a likeliness that there will be an obscure time frame in which things actually start to show. But the thing is that using the moon phases gives you a powerful time to begin processes. You still can kind of gauge when you should start seeing results. A lot of people can. Some people can't, but a lot of people can. So listen back, and you can hear some of the best times to begin different things. Also, we've been talking about water. Water has a memory.
Vodka.
I know I talk to my vodka. I mumble things like, I can't believe this. And then do a shot.
Dribble and say you're doing shots of dribble.
We're kidding. But anyway, water memory is really important when you are creating magic water or special water, cleaning things, salt water to purify your life, purify situations, to use it to gauge when certain things are happening. When I know in our work, when we are manifesting, it's really difficult to do readings at that point, especially when it comes to timing of things. So using that salt helps to gauge when you're going to start seeing changes, or it's just, if you need to have information based upon specific things, you can look us up on Facebook. If you're interested in starting like a love spell, I'm just using that as an example because I know there's many, many other different types of things out there. We use salt water. We use the moon. We use all kinds of things, but basically that salt water helps gauge change. It helps, keep negative things from coming to your doorstep. It could help with a host of things. So I kind of feel like I'm just babbling on about it because there's just so much. But listen back to the show in the archive so you can hear more specifics. If you want to get in touch with us off the show, you can get in touch with us on Broken Earth Radio Show on Stop. Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. I'm always about to say Blog Talk Radio, so I'm always smearing the words together. You can also reach me, Psychic Nunu, on Facebook, or if you want to get in touch with Bill, you can talk to him through those both those routes, or you can reach him on BillDoyle@live.com. I usually have links, but there's the links to our contact are on some of the other shows, but I haven't been putting them on there when I've been setting the shows up. Cause.
But if you want to go back and listen to, excuse me, go back and listen to the New Year's Eve radio show, because the people saying, you know, it's one of the bestest, funnest,
drunkest time Bill has ever been on the radio.
I was not drunk. It's a news article. It's kind of weird. You know, I know it's the first ever weird news article. Like, the ghost of Michael Jackson bummed my monkey.
That was the best article.
What was the other one as well? There was others. So many of them. Anyway, well, it's not as good as that, but this is weird. A ghost ship invested... Stallion. A ghost ship infested with hundreds of cannibalistic rats may end up beaching on Britain's coastline, experts have warned. I wonder what experts they are. What? Cannibal rat experts? Ghost ship infested with cannibal rats experts?
I like the second one.
Ghost ships infested with cannibalistic rats, experts said. The abandoned Libavolava has been missing since it cut adrift while being towed from Canada nearly a year ago. Coast Guards fear the 40-year-old liner was driven across the North Atlantic by high winds and is now lurking worryingly close to the UK shoreline. Searchers say there are likely to be hundreds, if not thousands, of disease-ridden rats on board with no source of food except each other. Based on signals from distress beacons thought to have been set off accidentally, and an unconfirmed satellite image, it's believed a Soviet vessel could hit the west coast of Ireland, Scotland, or the far southern tip of England. Belgian-based researcher Pim de Rose, sounds like a drink, said... She is floating around there somewhere. There will be a lot of rats, and they eat each other. A spokesman for the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency said, we've received no distress signals from the ship, as the rats are unable to speak. The 4,250-ton Lyubov Orlova, which was built to carry 110 passengers, was impounded in Newfoundland in 2010 after being deserted by her crew over a debt row. 2 years later, she returned to the Dominican Republic to be scrapped. But when she came loose, the Canadian government decided to drag her far out to sea and leave her there. Good decision, Canada.
Blame Canada.
The Beatles. Adventurers who want to cash in on the ship's £600,000 value as scrap and rats do not believe she is sunk because the life raft transmitters would have gone off. The sign of a since has been 2 distress beacons picked up mid-Atlantic in March last year, which are thought to have gone off when life rafts fell into the water. What? They could have escaped off the ship. They could have accidentally set off the life rats. A few weeks later, a satellite spotted a blip off the coast of Scotland big enough to be the ship, but no vessel was found. After that, nothing has been seen since of the 300-foot liner. Irish Coast Guard's Chris Reynolds says, we must stay vigilant. We don't want rats from foreign ships coming into Irish soil, especially not Canadian rats. if it came and broke up on the shore, I'm sure local people wouldn't be very happy about it. The Lyobob is now gaining in notoriety in internet discussion forums. An iPhone app called Find All Over and its own Twitter account. Rats will be all over you, Britain.
What? Anyway.
True. A lot of that article I made up, but...
like the whole thing.
No, no, seriously. That's weird, though. I mean, a rat, shift could just, like, into the coast and all these cannibalistic rats with beady little eyes is just going to go... Blah! Like, it's going to be like World War Z, but, like, with rats...
Oh, my goodness.
I'll have to send Brad Pitt in.
You're killing me. You've managed to just really kill me. Oh, my goodness. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we close out?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Been an awesome show, and what did you say the topic was? I'm getting in trouble, aren't I?
Dance of silence.
I'm getting in trouble. I must love that. See you guys soon.
Goodbye.